Before I even begin the message, I'm just thinking that the time is going to come, and I believe the time is fast approaching us, where there's going to be a sharpness and a crispness of God's word, so that people will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they've heard from the Lord. And then the other part of that prophecy is that God is going to speak into the lives and the hearts of individuals whose hearts have been hardened over a period of time, over a period of years of hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and not doing, that there's going to be an awakening that's going to take place in these last days. We talk about spiritual awakenings. We talk about revival. The revival is not something that takes place primarily outside of the church, but it's an awakening that takes place within the church. The people of God awaken. They become more aware, more alert. And as a result of their alertness, what God will do, his anointing will come upon his people, so that people will be drawn to you because they see Christ in you. We have to make sure we understand why people will be coming around you. It's not because of something that's so special about you. It's easy to misinterpret the whole thing when a person has, when people are attracted to you, when people are drawn to you, you begin to think, well, you could benefit as a result of people being around you. But we're going to come to the place of understanding they're drawn because they see Christ in you. They see Christ in us. And I believe the time is going to come where we won't be looking at this whole thing of diminishing returns. There's going to be a whole lot of people out there that's going to want what you have embraced, what you've heard, what you've received, what you have embraced. And then your responsibility is to give it to them. People are getting tired of just church. I mean, just church services, church activities, and the like. They're going to want to hear from God. They want to hear from God. And understand this. I've been asking God for a long time. I said, Lord, I don't want to ever come before you with merely just a sermon. But I want to preach. I want to be able to be this mouthpiece so that God can speak whatever he is speaking at the time he is speaking it. So today I'm using as a subject, and I want you to, first of all, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. Before I give my subject, I want you to turn and let's look at this whole situation that took place in the life of Elijah the prophet. Because here, it says here in chapter 19, verse 11, it says, then he said, this is after Elijah had gone into the cave. You know the whole story. I've done a lot of preaching on that. When Elijah, the prophet of God, who's withstood the prophets of Baal and the prophets and all the great things, and great feats that took place in the life of Elijah, but now the threat of Jezebel had him hiding in a cave. And here in the 11th verse of 19th chapter, this is where we find him. And I'm starting here. It says, then he said, this is God speaking to the prophet, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. Listen to this. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. Now that would be something. The Lord said, go stand on the mountain. And when the Lord said it, he passed by. You got to see this. He gave you a word, then he moved. What was the instruction? Go stand on the mountain. But the Lord moved. That made it more difficult to stand on the mountain, right? Because when the Lord moved, watch what happened. The Lord passed by, a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. Now I say, hey, did I hear from God or not? The Lord gave a specific mountain for me to stand on, and then I see mountains all around me falling. Now, who's to say that the mountain God told me to stand on would not fall like all the other mountains have fallen. So that'd give you a second thought, wouldn't it? You say, well, if everything else is falling down, so I'm not going to stand on, he didn't say stand on a mountain. He was very specific, go stand on the mountain. He pointed out a mountain. He said, Elijah, go and stand on this mountain. But when Elijah was given that instruction, he saw mountains falling, rocks being broken into pieces. So at that particular point, he had to get, I'm sure he'll step back and say, look, I ain't getting out this cave. I think the safest place for me is to stay in the cave. Because at least if the mountains are falling, they're falling where the mountains are. But they're not falling here where the cave is. But watch what happens here. He says, broken in pieces, he says, but the Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the wind. In other words, we saw the wind that caused the calamity, but the Lord was not in it. And that wasn't the end of it. After the wind, wait a minute, you mean is something going to be worse than what we just experienced? He said, yes. After the wind, an earthquake. The wind is enough, but calamities did not cease to happen. After the wind, here comes an earthquake. What was the instruction? Stand on the mountain. The question, how am I going to get there? Because you show me mountains falling down and now the earth is shaking. He said, and when the earth began to shake, the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then after the earthquake, wait a minute, we had one calamity, now second calamity, and now after the earthquake, a fire. Wait a minute. There's the wind, there's the earthquake, and now there's fire. But preceding all of that was the word of the Lord. What was the word of the Lord? Go stand on the mountain that I told you to stand on. But I look around me, and it appears to be an impossibility to stand on a mountain. Why? Because all of these things that are happening would be preventative of me ever making it to the mountain. So now, after the earthquake, this calamity of fire. But then it said, but God was not in the fire. Then it says, after the fire, there was a still small voice. Now move on and look at the rest of that. After the earthquake, after the fire, after the wind, after the earthquake, after the fire, what do we have? God talking again. Are you hearing something here? Are you hearing something? God, and here's what happens. God did not change his mind from the first order that he gave. You would think that the calamities would cause God to change his mind, but God did not change his mind because God said to stand on the mountain, so therefore the word of the Lord to Elijah was to stand on the mountain. But the question was, if you told me to stand on the mountain, then why are all these calamities taking place? Are you seeing something here? So what happened? God had to speak again, but this time in a whisper. It was a still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out. And where did he stand? Come on, church. Where did he stand? Huh? At the entrance of the cave. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. What did God say? Where did Elijah stand? Let me ask you another question. Was Elijah obedient to the Lord? Huh? Why not? He didn't make it to the mountain. All he made it to was the entrance of the cave, and it took God speaking the second time in order to get him to move even to that level. Are you hearing something here? Are you hearing something? So how many times does God have to speak before people take him seriously? See, God didn't change his mind. He still said, stand on the mountain. So when finally there was a whisper from God in a still small voice, so it was then Elijah heard it. Then Elijah heard it. When he heard it, then he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, now God spoke the third time. See, first God gave a command, then God whispered, then God spoke the third time. What did God say? What are you doing here, Elijah? Question to the church today is, what are you doing here, church, when God said, stand on the mountain? Now, today's message, I'm entitling it, God Speaks Through the Whirlwind, because I want you to see how God is instructing us. So then, when he says, God says, what are you doing here? And then Elijah responded, not being obedient to the word of God, well, I've been very zealous for the Lord. God of hosts, man, I pay my tithe. I went to church at least on Sunday. And then once a month at least, I would show up at church. I've been very zealous for the Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. These folk out there forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. I'm the only one that's left. And you know what? And now they're trying to figure out where I am so they can kill me. Then the Lord said to him, go out, go return on your way, go on back. Don't go to the mountain. Go to the wilderness of Damascus. Oh, that's a second opinion, isn't it? He told him to stand on the mountain, but when he gave his excuse, he says, now go to the wilderness of Damascus. He said, so in other words, you weren't obedient the first time. Then when I spoke to you the second time, and even the third time, you still didn't get it. So we think that God changed his mind, didn't you? You say, well, God must change his mind because, well, I'm glad that's over. I don't have to stand on a mountain. I can go back to the wilderness of Damascus. He said, no, no. When you arrive there, I want you to anoint Hazael as king over Syria. After you shall also anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And when you finish all that anointing, and Elisha, your son, the son of Shaphat, of Abel, Mahola, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. In other words, Elijah, you have just been replaced by another. In fact, your spiritual son just took your place. Why? Because you refused to stand on the mountain. I'm headed somewhere with all this. I want you to stay with me. As we begin to look at the conditions that are taking place in our day and time, I would venture to say that the consensus opinion of America has been expressed already through the outcome of the election. Don't ever think that America is silent, but this nation has spoken. And understand there are divided opinions as to the outcome of the election, but let's look at the consensus. Let's look at what the nation has said. Do you see this? What have we said as a people? What have we said as a nation? Now, with that, I want you to also know that God knew the outcome. God knew what the outcome would be even before the election was even held. I said it over 8 years ago when President Obama was elected as president of the United States, and that was a big shaking that was taking place within this nation. And then I was faced with some very strong arguments and I would say challenges, where some of my brethren began to say, brethren of different culture would say that no, God is not in this, because if God was in it, then someone else would have been elected as president. And I said, don't you know that God is big enough to allow the will of the people to be carried out and still be God? Don't you know that the will of the people does not disturb God's providence, his power, that God is not shaken because the people had their way? He would say, let the people have their way. But watch what I'm going to do. Listen to what I'm saying here. So now we begin to see people that are set and whatever because of the outcome of this election. But some have even gone so far as to believe this is the apocalypse. That we're encircled around. Look at what happened. He said, well, understand, mountains fallen, earthquake and fire breaking out. It appeared as if people are being encircled. And they can see nothing beyond the moment. Therefore, the actions of the moment must be overturned. That's the attitude. What are we going to do about changing what has already happened? And God is saying to you, it is not just a matter of going back and trying to unscramble eggs, but it's a matter of progressing beyond the moment. Because we still have a God that's on the throne. What do we do after the fact? What do we do when the decision has been made? What happens after a particular thing has already happened? God's word had not changed. His orders were not revoked. He said, go stand on the mountain. So now people begin to see it's not, as they begin to take matters in their own hands, it's not a wise investment of time and energy to begin to protest all that stuff that's going on now. That's not a good investment of time and energy. There's something else that we as a church ought to be doing. We must accept things and continue to seek the will of God. Where is God? In fact, Jesus was at a place where he was facing one of his biggest challenges and trials. In fact, what happened as he stood there and he said, it was predetermined that he was to go to the cross. Are you hearing me? It was predetermined. The path that God had already set for him was to go by way of the cross. Now he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he began to pray, and he said, Lord, if there be any other way, let this cup be removed from me. And it wasn't a large gap between his nevertheless, but in a very short period of time, Lord said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You follow? So now, when things do not turn out the way, in fact, the truth of the matter is, his election wasn't going to turn out to our favor either way. Are you hearing me now? Don't think that you would be favored as a result of the outcome of the election, but you understand, whichever way this cookie was to crumble, it's going to still be a situation that we're facing. I want you to know. Or situations that we'd be facing, crises that would affect us as believers. But then, nevertheless, let the will of the Lord be done. See, what we do, we elevate our thoughts. Elevated thoughts produce spiritual death. When we have to look above the situation, it causes us to go deeper in the things of God. You see, what happens, you grow deeper when you have to deal with things on a higher level. You have to see beyond. You have to see over, beyond the horizon. This is what is happening right now, but understand, God is above this. He's above the heavens. He's above the earth. He's above all things. So if he's above all things, understand this, that causes us to go deeper in the things of God. And I want you to understand what I mean by this is that what God is wanting to do, even among us as believers, is that we as the church must go deeper. We have to grow deeper now. Let's grow deeper. In fact, I begin to hear, even in the words of President Obama, when he says, when they go low, we go high. I would say that they were speaking about not being critical, not taking things on the same level of those that were critical. But I would say, as a church now, when the world gets more debased and the world gets involved in things that would be contrary to the word of the Lord, if anything, we got to go higher. We got to set our sights on things above. We have to rise above the situations and understand that's not being ignorant. You're not ignoring the situations, but you're rising above them. He didn't say go stand in the valley. He said go stand on the mountain. Are you hearing me now? He was in a cave, and the Lord was saying to the prophet, go expose yourself. Let the church arise. Standing on the mountain means that now you're coming out of the closet. You're coming out of the cave. You're not a place where you're putting your faith out there so that people would have to assume as to what you believe, but now they know what you believe and in whom you believe. That's the mountain that God would have you to stand on. So now, this is what the scripture says. Now, I believe as we look at this, as times grow worse, his voice will ring clearer. And I believe this, that God's going to give us a clearer message, a more precise message than you've ever heard before. No, God is talking, but I believe right now there's more precision to the word. I believe the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to this, dividing asunder soul, spirit, joint, marrow, even the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. I believe more so in a time, it's going to be a more sharpness to the word of God. The crispness to the word of God. It's going to go right to the quick of what's happening in our day and our time. Now understand this. Here's why this is important, is that as God will begin to address the issues and the crises of our day from his perspective, there's going to be a people that's going to pay attention. But it's going to be a specific kind of people that's going to pay attention. Everybody won't pay attention. There's going to still be a lot of folk they're still going to go about their lives, living their lives their own way, being led by their own perceptions. But the scripture says in John chapter 10 and verse 3, this is what it says concerning those that will pay attention now. It says, it talks about Jesus Christ himself. He says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice. His sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and lead them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he go before them, and the sheep follow him. For why? For they know his voice. Let me just stop there for a moment. There will be people that will pay attention to the voice of God. They know when God's talking. And then they will follow the voice of God and not be misled by all these other voices. And he said, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. They said, that voice is unfamiliar, so I'm not going there. But they will hear and know the voice of God. Jesus used this illustration when he talks about, when he says, my sheep will know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. He used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Just like it is today, a lot of folk don't understand when he says that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. There are people that don't understand that illustration, because first of all, they see themselves as being greater than sheep. They said, I'm not a sheep. And the Lord said, my sheep know my voice. I'm glad he's talking, that I'm glad his sheep know his voice. But that doesn't apply to me, because I'm got a mind and a will. I can think strong thoughts, intelligent thoughts. But he also let you know that there are many that are not his sheep. They don't belong to him. So therefore, they can't hear his voice. Mentioned, the message is going to be crisper. The message is going to be clearer. But then there's going to be those that's going to follow the directive given by God. And there's going to be those that's going to go a different way. He said, they hear. Now listen to what he says. They hear his voice. And then they identify it as being his voice. Did you hear what I say? They heard it. It's like I can hear sounds, but then I must identify the source of that sound. From where did that sound come from? It's just like a child. I know some mothers. Some of you mothers can relate to this. It's when your child would cry in the nursery, or be in a particular room. And I understand a whole lot of children are crying, but there's a distinct sound that your child has. And you say, well, that's my baby. I can tell that's because my baby, my ears are tuned to the voice of my child. But it's also the other way around. It can be a whole lot of folk talking, but when the parent speaks up, that child pay attention. That's mama, that's daddy. In fact, daddy could say Junior in a way, boy, I'm telling you, that would just cause chills. You know, he could be having a conversation, but then he would say, Junior. You know, I said, oh Lord, I'm in trouble now, because it's just a sound, that sound that came forth from his voice. You see, because now there's a whole lot of people that were named after their daddy. Now everybody that was a junior could answer, but no. That's my daddy talking to me. That specific Junior that he's talking to. His Junior, Woodrow Walker Jr. I could hear the voice of my father. And the same thing, when God is talking, you understand this. That's why I said, let's pray that people will desire to hear the voice of God. That people will, there will be a yearning within the hearts of people to know the voice of God. Because God is talking, y'all. God is making his presence known in the midst of the activities that's taking place in our day and time. But tragically speaking, there's a whole lot of folk that's not paying attention. But when you become a sheep, that's why I keep going back to foundations, is that a lot of people within church in Christendom need to get saved. They need to get saved because you understand, if you're listening to all these voices, you're not paying attention to the voice of God. Are you really a sheep? Are you really a sheep? Are you really converted? Have you really been saved? So my sheep hear my voice. They understand. They hear his voice. They don't follow a stranger. And then he called his own sheep by name. They hear, they identify it being his voice. They hear the sound. And not only that, they decipher the message. They hear the instruction. They say, well, not only do I hear his voice, not only do I recognize it being from him, but I also understand now what he is saying to me. And understand when God's speaking, there's life in those words. He's not just throwing out conversation. There's life in the word of God. What God is speaking is more than most are hearing. There's life in the word of God. What you need is in the word of God. Do you hear what I'm saying here? That there's no life in all this other stuff. All these other things that people go off in these rabbit trails, there's no life in that. There's life in the word of God. When God is speaking, there's life in the word of God. What God is saying is, he is saying it in the center of our current crisis. God is speaking right in the midst of all the activities taking place all around us. God speaks in the midst of all of that. And he says what he wants to say. He's yet involved in the affairs of humanity. This is what he says here in Amos chapter 3, verse 6. Amos 3, 6. This is a prophetic word. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? We talk about a trumpet of warning. You have to understand, when they blow the trumpet, it's like a siren to us. A siren. I know we say siren from where I, but my wife is always correcting me on that, but a siren. But if a siren was to sound, would not the people be afraid? If you begin to hear those tornado warnings going off, would not the people take the cover? Then it says, if there is a calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Uh-oh. Did I lose you? If there is a warning given, trumpet sound, should not the people be afraid? Because the trumpet is a warning in relation to the oncoming calamity. Something is about to approach. There's a prophetic word spoken to prepare you to take shelter, to prepare yourself for what's about to take place. So you got to understand what I'm saying here. So if there is a calamity in a city, when it says the Lord have done it, understand this, we begin to look at, did the Lord is the causality of all things. But let me tell you something here. The strength that the enemy has, he has to corrupt or to pervert that strength that came originally from God. But yet, God having the oversight of all things, those things that happen, they don't happen outside of God's knowledge. So understand this. So as a result of that, we begin to see where the devil did it, but God did it. You follow this? God did it. But when it happens, you see, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. You see, God's going to use that calamity for his good, for good intentions, for the devil's intention was to use it for evil intents. So now we begin to see where it says that when the calamity has not God done it, then it says, look at this part now, surely, certainly, the Lord God does nothing unless first and foremost he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So, whatever is about to occur, God gives his word, his preceding word, before the calamity takes place, before it even happens. So when the Lord said, go stand on the mountain, he had knowledge of the fact that the wind was going to blow. He had knowledge of the fact that the earth was going to quake. He had knowledge of the fact that there's going to be some fire. But he did not retract his word because of the things that were to take place after that. Oh, I wish you could see it. So the Lord is letting us know that the safest place to be was not in a cave, but on the mountain. Why? Because God said, stand there. And if God said, stand on the mountain, God was going to protect him if he would just stand on the mountain. But not only would he be preserved by standing on the mountain, guess what else? He would also maintain his anointing. Oh, let me tell you something. So God does nothing. He reveals his secret. What are you talking about, his secret? It's what God knows. The secret things belong to God. Things revealed belong to us and our children. But God knew the outcome. God knew what was about to take place even before it happened. So in other words, the word of God preceded the election. The word of God preceded the economy being in the condition that is in right now. The word of God preceded the situation took place in your loved ones' lives. Before you had an illness, before you had a challenge in your life, before your situation, before you lost your job, the word of God preceded all of those things. See, God speaks to us and he prepares us for everything that's about to happen. It didn't say he prevented those things from happening, but he prepared you for what was about to happen so that when it happens, understand, you're safe. The hands of God. So now, he does nothing unless he reveals it. First of all, to service the prophets, he said, look at what has happened. A lion has roared. Now understand, the lion roars because either he has already captured his prey or he see the fact that this prey is within his sight. The lion has roared. He said, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? See, Lord spoken. That's why the message comes out. See, the Lord has said something, therefore, I have to say something. See, I cannot help but to speak if the Lord has spoken. Now, understand, diminishing returns, who are the ones that are open to the message that God has to give us? Is God speaking? Is God preparing us? Is God concerned about our future? Does God prepare us for whatever we're about to walk into? Or do we look at it as after the fact we give a report of what happened? That's what a reporter does. He doesn't tell you ahead of time, he'll tell you after the fact. He said, I'm standing here right now at a scene where tragedy just occurred. You follow the storm that came through here, destroyed all of these houses that you see destroyed, and all of these electrical circuits that have been broken, and all these things that's happened. You see, this is what happened. A lot of folk look for that kind of report rather than a forecast. They said, get ready because the storm is approaching. Get ready, prepare yourself because things are going to get tough.
Now, I don't want to hear that because that's negative. I want to hear, woo child. Things are going to get easier. I want someone to tell me smooth things. Tell me how nice I am and how lovely things are going to be in life. He says, no. The prophetic word prepares us for our future and warns us of the challenges that we're about to face. He's saying, there's some things coming down the pike now. Let me tell you something. You know, I know this run people off, but let me tell you something. We're going to face some very troubling times, but I didn't come up with that. Paul spoke it before me, and Peter said a lot of stuff about what's going to take place in the last days. And then all I do is say what God has said, and then people get turned off and want to find another church. Let me tell you something. I can't but help but to prophesy. The prophetic word of God. History, the God of the past, has many things to say to us. But many see him as, they see themselves as having outgrown the Ancient of Days. He's the Ancient of Days. So we've outgrown that. We're living in what's happening now. And I put this down. In fact, God spoke to me late one night, and he began to say to me, he said, a ruthless people is a rootless people. People that are rootless are ruthless because they have no foundation. Their hearts have become so hardened as to not giving any consideration from which they came. They curse their foundations, and they don't pay any attention to that which God was trying to develop within them from the beginning. So therefore, they become hardened, calloused, desensitized to the voice of God. C.S. Lewis said, pain insists upon being attended to, so they suffer pain. See, it requires amplification. God begins to speak louder. Here he whispered, but then he violently spoke out and said, what are you doing here? Pain insists on being attended to. This is what C.S. Lewis said. He said, God whispers to us in our pledges, speaks in our consciences. But here's the other part. But he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to arouse a deaf world. So he shouts. And as we begin to look at how he does it, here's what he says concerning the instructions that you heard but left. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20, he says, even though he give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, it says, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. Now, listen to what he's saying. This is a prophetic word, isn't it? It is saying that somewhere down the line, those that were speaking prophetically into your lives were pushed into a corner and say, look, you stay. In fact, when you're put into a corner, they call it time out. Remember that? They tell you, say, look, your kid's acting up. You know, instead of beating the stew out of them, they said, you have to go to timeout. You're in timeout. It says, I want you to stand in the corner facing the wall and just stay there because right now you're not in position to participate in the activities that's taking place around you. But look what people have done when it relates to the truth, the word of God. They put God in time out. They put the word of God in time out. They began to hear the prophetic word, and they said, time out, because we want to hear something else. So we put the teachers in time out. And he says, even though, now watch what happened. Now you begin to see some things happening. Now we see the Lord gives the bread of affliction, the bread of adversity, the water of affliction. And then the teacher is stealing time out. And then you say, well, let me go back and reflect upon some stuff I heard 20, 30, 40 years ago. You say, maybe there was some content. Maybe there was some substance to what I walked away from. He said, your teachers will not be moved in the corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. You're going to see those that God had anointed and appointed to give instruction in our generation. But look what he says here. Your ears shall hear, listen to this now, a word behind you. What is it saying here? That you moved on with your life. You see, you moved on. You have progressed beyond that point. I don't need that any longer. I graduated from new members class. So I don't need what they offer there any longer. I need something different. I need something that's more palatable to my taste. Do you see what I mean? Oh, let me tell you. There are times, I think it was my son Maurice said, he said, I wish some of the stuff these people were saying were true, because it sure make life much easier. But listen to what happens here. Here they moved on, and he says, and your teachers are behind you. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying. You see, all the other voices go this way, go that way, the other. Then you hear a voice behind you say, this is the way. This is the way. The way that you left is the way that God was directing. Walk, he didn't say, hear it only. Walk in it. Because unless you're willing to walk in it, hearing it ain't sufficient. But the reason it wasn't working, because you wouldn't live it. He says, now, this is the way. Get on this path. Walk in it. The voice behind you just may very well be the voice of God. I like this old song by Isaac Watts, an understand old Lutheran song, but it said here, our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home, under the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. And then he goes on to talk about history. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. So understand, the history of God takes us beyond all this modernity, all this stuff that's happening now in our day and time. But God would take us all the way back. He said, this is where I am. But some people have gone past God, trying to find God. See, it's consistency could appear. Oftentimes, something consistency could appear irritating. You said, hey, aggravate me, irritate me, because you're saying the same thing that you said 20, 30 years ago. But God has not changed his mind. He is the same. Now, let me just carry on to help you understand how God is in the midst of calamity. You know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As they were placed where? In the midst of a fiery furnace. But guess what happened in that furnace? Here in Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, when they answered, they put him in the fiery furnace, and then somebody got in that fire with him. And then they said, look, he answered, I see four men loose. I put in three, but now I see four men loose. I don't just see four men, but I see four free men. They were put in bound, but somebody got in the fire with them. Oh, I wish you could say that. Somebody got in the fire with him and not only joined them in the fire, but loosed them from the bonds. But here's the other part. But he didn't put out the fire. Lord, deliver me by putting out the fire. He didn't even put out the fire. But he made them fireproof. So now there's four that are still in the fire. But they're walking around in the fire. This is what he says. They're walking around in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Wow. So what was God doing? He regulating the intensity of the heat. Even if the heat remains, he would preserve his own in the midst of the fire. So regardless of the condition, God knows how to keep you in the midst of those situations here. And then we begin to see what God is doing while you're in the fire. This is what he said. Because church, we're in the fire. Do you realize this? We're in the fire now. Isaiah 48:10, he says, behold, I've refined you. But not as silver. God is fixing us. He's refining us, not as silver. I've tested you in the fire of affliction. He said that to Israel, but he's saying that to us today. I am refining you. The fire is not going to destroy you. All the fire is going to do is refine you. He's burning stuff out of off of you. You see, in other words, that fire burned the bonds that held them. It didn't burn them. What was burned was the stuff that held them back, the stuff that enslaved them. So when you go into fire, there's a whole lot of stuff that's holding you back. There's a whole lot of stuff that have you in bondage. And when you get into fire, all he's going to do is free you by the fire rather than burn you up in the fire. You got to hear that. So here they are. He said, I refine you. He said, I'm doing it for my own sake. For my own sake. He says it twice. I will do it. The Lord is reiterating. He says, for how should my name be profaned? I will not give my glory to another. The Lord is going to be glorified. He's bringing the church back into focus. Did you hear me? He's bringing us back into focus. Oh, you can act like you were acting beforehand and just treat this thing like I ain't said a thing if you want to. But let me tell you something. God's talking to us now. He's speaking. He's speaking. Here's how the Lord speaks now. He speaks. He's talking about a whirlwind. He says in Psalm 77 and verse 18, he says, the voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The voice of your thunder. Look how powerful God. The voice of your thunder is in the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. You understand this? We see the whirlwind, but then we see the thunder. We hear the thunder, rather. We hear the roaring. You don't see thunder. You hear thunder. So we begin to see, we begin to hear thunder. But then you see lightning. You hear thunder. You hear the shaking, but you see the lightning. The lightning lit up the whole world. And the world, the earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not even known. You see, he did it in such a way, footsteps not even known. Yet you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You see, your footsteps were not known, but all they could see was Moses and Aaron. All they could see was the people that you put before them. You see, did you hear something here? All you saw was a preacher. But all the while, it was God. You see, you begin to see that you begin to hear thunder, lightning. You begin to, the power of God manifesting. And all the while, all you saw a man. He said, go this way. Well, Moses, who are you? Who are you so great that you would be set over us? I have a way that's as good as your way. I believe just like you believe. I believe my way it could work as well. So you see the murmuring and complaining of those that were being led. The same thing occurs in our day and time. So he says, they were led like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So salvation comes to those that will follow the directive that God has given. I'm almost done, but I do want to say this much, and I'll cover the rest of it later on, is that God is confirming his word, but we don't allow what God is saying and what God is doing today to be marginalized. I just like this thing of Job, and I'm just going to close with this, because look at what happened to Job now. See, Job now, it says in Job 38:1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, see, God spoke to Job out of the whirlwind. Here's what he said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now we begin to see Elijah being spoken to, and then we see all of these things, wind, earthquake, fire, then the whisper, but here God spoke to Job in the whirlwind. In other words, God spoke in such a way that his words produced calamity. And he said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Uh-oh, that's scary, isn't it? Because God is rebuking him. When he speaks by the whirlwind, it is a rebuke. Do you hear what I'm saying? Could it very well be that God is rebuking us through the activities that's taking place today, that this could very well be a rebuke from God? He speaks, you're darkening counsel by words without knowledge. He says, if that be the case, he says, now prepare yourself like a man. He says, and I'm going to ask you some thought-provoking questions just to expose your ignorance so you can see if, in fact, you're as intelligent as you think you are. He said, I'm going to give you a test. He said, this is what I know, and this is what you know. So let's begin to look at who know the most, because you're at a place where you think you can match wits with me. He said, now, I'm not going to ask you scientifically first as to how you might be able to scientifically understand all of these things that occurred, but I'm going to ask you a question of position. I want to know if you were a witness to, because you can come up with all these things that are hypothetical answers, but if you were there to provide evidence and proof, then your testimony is valid. My first question is, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you? Where were you? What was your, where were you? Where were you? Where were you? You had to be somewhere. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where was I? I don't even know where I was. Where am I now? I don't even, you're messing with me now. Where am I even now? Where were you when you laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, if you're that smart, tell me, who determined the measurements, its measurements? Surely you know, I'm certain you know, because you're matching wits. Or who stretched the line upon it? To where and what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning star sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Now, to just jump down, that's enough. That's a whole lot. That's poetic. It's scientific. It covers all the science, everything. But then Job finally got around to answering God in the 40th chapter and 3rd verse. It says, then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, he said, man, I'm vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hands over my mouth now. Once I've spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. I answered before, but I know better thing for me to do is shut my mouth. Don't say anything else. Because every time I open my mouth, I keep putting my foot in my mouth. The Lord ain't through with him, though. Go to the 40th, chapter 6, verse. Then the Lord answered Job, and out of the whirlwind. He still got the whirlwind going on. He said, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? If I judge a thing, you're going to know, you're going to overturn my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? You're going to make me look bad so you look good? Have you an arm like God? Or can you thunder with a voice like his? Make the thunder roll. Let me hear your thunder. You got some thunder? Let me see your lightning. 42nd chapter, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask me, who is this that hide counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that which I do not understand. See, he humbled him. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. If you don't know this, you see, but you try to act like you know it, that's a problem in this. He said, listen, please, and let me speak. Lord, just give me a word to say, because I want to say something. He said, you said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. He said, but this is what I want to say. But now my eye sees you. Therefore, I bore myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. He said, now I see you in a way, in the midst of all this activity, I see you in a way that I've never, ever seen you before. And I am never going to question you like I questioned you then. So now, in closing, look at Elijah again. Elijah, hiding in the cave, he finally had to anoint Elisha to take his place. He had to anoint a new king and all the other kind of things. And then he said to Elisha, he said, when you see me go up, you know, then let me just read that. Let me read that. Because he asked for a double portion. He said, what do you want from me? He said, I want a double portion. But in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, 10 rather, it says, so he said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. You got to stay with me, he said. When you see me taken, then you'll get your double portion. But if you don't see me, then you ain't going to get it. You follow this? You got to stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with the program. Stay. You follow this? We talk about mentoring young folk. We talk about bringing people to a place. He said, you have to be with me. You have to see me taken up. You have to see. You see, you have to stay there. Now, first of all, understand. Then he says, when you see me taken, he said, the mantle's going to be yours. He said, then it happened as they continued on and talked. He said, while they were talking, then suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. Now they see chariots of fire, horses of fire, that divided the two of them. And then it says, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. We see a whirlwind taking him up into heaven. Now, when we think about all of this, God was not in the wind. God was not in the earthquake. God was not in the fire. But now a whirlwind comes. Do you see that? The very thing that would have otherwise produced calamity became the vehicle that took him on up. so that he was taken and brought into the presence of the Lord. Oh, let me tell you something. This is our promotion. All this stuff that's going on. Go take us up. You see, a ship, when the water rises, it has more buoyancy. The ship rises as the level of the water rises. It is the buoyancy of the believer that will cause him or her to rise. So understand that God is getting ready to do something among his people that we've never seen happen before. See, I just sense it. I sense it. That's why it doesn't disturb me. I said, this is just an outward thing. I believe the time is going to come where there will be such a premium upon the truth that you're hearing right now, that there will be people all over the world of every people group. That's why we prophetically named, and God gave us the name, Cross Culture Church, because there's going to be a cross-cultural effect that's going to impact lives of people all the world, because there's going to be a hunger in the midst of all the calamities, the whirlwind. God is saying that these things are happening, but your assignment is to stand on the mountain. Don't be afraid. You see, I gave you power over all of the priests of Baal, the prophets of Baal. You see, God would have us to root out, pull up, to undo activities that the enemy had sown, and in that, the time is going to come that we're going to see a harvest. We're going to reap a harvest. Believe me now. The ones that can hear the voice of God and understand this, I'm not bashful or shy about it. I believe that the message you're hearing right now is God talking. I believe God's talking to us. You see, I would be remiss to say that, okay, I'm going to give you a message and maybe it's God. No. I have to be very confident in the fact to say to you that God is speaking to us right now. I believe the word of God. I mentioned early on, I said, it's not just to you, it's to me as well. God is speaking to us. And there is a place that we must occupy once we've heard the word of God. And let me tell you something. I want to make sure that I occupy till he comes. I want you to do likewise. So let us now, the whirlwind of politics, the whirlwind within our economy, the whirlwind of lies that are being told. Guess what God's going to do? God has a whirlwind for us to take hold of that's going to cause us to rise up. And we're going to be in his presence. We're going to present him in a way that they will know him for who he really is. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your voice that's being spoken through the whirlwind. You're speaking, Lord. You're saying some things to us. May we not miss it. May we not miss it. May we not, Lord, be distracted by all the other voices. By all means, I know I'm not the only one speaking on your behalf, but I'm one of those that speak. But particularly to those that you've assigned to this ministry, your voice is being sounded, but may your voice be heard. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we did not give our fullest attention to those things that really mattered. My prayer today is that this will be our rallying point. As we see these things, may it draw us closer to you rather than away from you. Lord, draw the sinner, even the sinner that's in the church, the sinner, Lord, that hide behind the mask. Lord, draw that sinner to you. The person that easily offended, that it doesn't take much for him or her to walk away because they would allow even the brushing of a wind or whatever to cause them to go in a different direction. Lord, give your people that kind of resilience that nothing will separate them from your love. And that love being made evident. My prayer, O Lord, is that those that have allowed sin into their lives and they need to confess so that they can see rightly, because sin has a blinding effect upon any who would participate. So therefore, their judgments are not accurate. My prayer, Lord, is that they'll confess their sins and get a new start from you. So move among your people now. Your word is spoken. So now may your spirit have his way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.